Hey gang, this is Van, and we're going to try something a little different this week. As some of you know, because I've been mentioning it on Twitter the last few days, John has been out of town, and I've been pretty sick. In fact, my voice sounds pretty horrible right now. Plus, I'm recording this using the Podbean app on my phone. For various reasons, I can't really go down in the basement to the studio, and so I'm just going to do a quick one-off AU Wishbone show with some of my thoughts about A-Day and then some of John's thoughts that he emailed to me a day or two ago. And so we'll have a sort of virtual conversation with John about how spring practice ended for Auburn in 2019. Now, again, I'm using the Podbean app on my phone. I have no idea how this is going to work, how it will sound, or if it will work at all. Also, I don't really have access to our theme music, our soundboard, so John already approves of this because I don't have the soundboard. It's still not working right anyway, so I don't know what's going on with that. It seems like every time we fix one problem and have a month or two of everything working well, we have a new problem pop up, but we'll get it figured out. In any case, this will be a no-nonsense, quick in-and-out A-Day thoughts episode of the AU Wishbone with no frills. This actually marks two episodes in a row that I'll have posted with no intro, no episode number, no music, nothing. But I think what you tune in for mostly is just to kind of hear what John and I have to say. And so here are what our thoughts are. So I got to watch A-Day. I got home from Chicago from the Windy City Pulp Con right before kickoff for A-Day, and I got to watch it. And John watched it, and he sent me his thoughts on it. So let me run through John's bullet points first. He has five main bullet points, and then I'll kind of use that to expand on my thoughts as well. He pointed out, and I think that this has been said by others in the days since, but this is certainly what he and I both were planning on saying about it from the start, was that both Joey Gatewood and Bo Nix looked really good. I would throw in that I thought Malik Willis looked pretty good. In fact, the one mystery to me, as I've been reading commentary and reactions to A-Day and all the days since then, the one thing I've been the most sort of puzzled about is why everybody says it's a slam dunk that Joey Gatewood and Bo Nix are in kind of a dead heat and Malik Willis has been left by the roadside for dead. I mean, he went something like 11 for 12, Malik Willis did, passing, including with the second-team offense, and I thought he looked fine. Now, I know that beyond that, there's what's happened all of spring practice, not just A-Day. You don't base it all on one day, and apparently, particularly in the live practices where the quarterbacks don't, you know, have to stop as soon as somebody breathes on them, they actually can take off and run. Apparently, in those, Joey Gatewood has looked very good, and that's what we all were hoping for, right? That's what we were wanting to hear. I mean, I've been mentioning for a couple of years now that there were a number of evaluators out there who looked at Gatewood and saw basically a tight end. They said, oh, Auburn will recruit him as a Cam Newton-style quarterback, but he can't throw, and he's not the most, you know, effective leader and whatever, and he's going to end up moving to, like, tight end. I guess sort of like becoming a CJ Uzoma type receiver. But I've always hoped that those people were wrong, and there was always a chance they would be wrong, and guess what? It now looks like maybe they were wrong, because it now looks like he's actually catching on pretty well the last year for him during his redshirt season and through the winter into the spring practice. Looks like the light has really come on for him, and so Gatewood looks great. We knew that Bo Nix was going to be this good, didn't we? I mean, we knew it because, I mean, between the fact that his father and his grandfather are coaches, that he's won so much at the high school level, he's been so effective. There are just so many factors that you could check off for Bo Nix and say, you know, oh yeah, it would be surprising if he didn't turn out to be really good. So I think that the two of them looking good, not really expected with Gatewood maybe, but a pleasant surprise, totally expected with Bo Nix. So we're in good shape there. Now, with Malik Willis, I guess we'll just have to wait and see because, like I said, he looked great on A-Day. He only threw like one incompletion the whole first half, the whole day. So who knows? But like I said, there's stuff that not all of us have seen behind the scenes that goes into that. Now, you know, John pointed out that what we didn't see was either of the quarterbacks running the ball against a defense allowed to tackle them, and they're allowed to break tackles and keep moving. And as John says, both of those guys, Gatewood and Nix, are much better runners than Jared Stidham was. And the quarterback run, therefore, is going to be a bigger part of the offense in 2019 than it has been in a while. And John asked the question for the end of his first bullet point, when was the last time quarterback play at the A-Day game made you excited? And, I guess going into the 2017 season and seeing Stidham out there actually throwing the ball like he knew, you know, what he was doing after what we had suffered through the previous several seasons, that was exciting, but it was like from a nothing to a something. This actually looks like we have multiple players who can get the job done at the quarterback position, at least two, maybe three, you know, maybe four, who knows. That definitely has me excited, definitely has me excited. Number two bullet point from John, both quarterbacks looked really good passing the ball, accurate, on time, and in sync with the receivers, and they had good touch. And that's true. And I tell you what, speaking of the receivers, and well, before we do, I'll transition the receivers, but I mean, I wonder how much of that has to do with Kenny Dillingham, because while he's the offensive coordinator by name, by title, I think we all pretty much assume he's the quarterback coach, right? I mean, Dillingham was brought in to be the quarterback guru type, while Gus has the overview of the entire offense. At least that's the impression that I've always had. I think that's the impression John has too. And so I wonder how much we're already seeing dividends on hiring him. We can't really know, right? Because it's an organic, multi-person involved deal. You know, with your head coach, your offensive coordinator, your receivers coach, the offensive line. There's so many factors that go into it. But it would be really great if not only we hit the jackpot with Gatewood and with Nix, but we also hit the jackpot with a good up and coming young coach like Dillingham that might turn out to be really special, in the years, days, and years to come. And that's another factor, is how long has it been since we were able to talk about the great coaching and the great quarterback development that we gave somebody at Auburn? I mean, certainly our quarterbacks that came in as juniors, like Cam and Nick Marshall, both improved in a big way while they played for Auburn, but I'm not entirely sure Jared Stidham got that much better. Some would argue he got worse last year than the year before. Although, again, there are a lot of factors that go into that. But it would be really nice to be able to say that Auburn actually develops quarterbacks and can take first-year, right out of high school quarterbacks and turn them into great college and maybe great pro quarterbacks. It's been a while since we could say that. That would be really nice. And it would take a big knock on Gus maybe off the board. I guess then we would blame everything on poor Rhett Lashley. I don't know. So speaking of receivers, John's third bullet point he wanted me to share with you. We are loaded at receiver. Well, no kidding. We sure are. And that's without the super five-star stud we were supposed to get that ended up, I believe, going to Georgia. I think we're doing quite well without that guy. Pickens, I believe. I believe he was Pickens. And remember, he says, some guys didn't play in this game. Schwartz, etc. Oh, and the little scat receiver whose name always eludes me. Seth Williams, he says, is a monster, and Eli Stove looked back to being ready to play at a high level. Yeah, oh, it's so good to see Eli Stove out there and looking good. Man, I mean, it was so frustrating to have him you know, really blossom as a true freshman 2 years ago and look like somebody that we could turn to and depend on, you know, for 3 or 4 years, and then immediately lose him in the spring after his freshman year. That was extremely disappointing. So, I certainly hope that Eli will be back up to his old ways and beyond soon, and it may already be, in fact. It would be nice when we get Schwartz back. Man, he looked impressive as a true freshman. But yeah, the receivers that jumped off the field for us on Saturday, obviously, were Seth Williams and Matthew Hill, both of whom we've seen coming, right? I mean, we saw little flashes of their potential last year in very, very limited work. We saw that they possibly, you know, were going to be big for us. And certainly it looked like that was the case at the A-Day game. Now, in my notes, I had noted that I thought Bo Nix was marginally ahead of Joey Gatewood from just me watching it on television. I guess that's just because I felt like Nix's passes were a little crisper, a little more on target, a little more catchable in most cases. A couple of Gatewoods seemed more like the receiver was able to make something out of it that just was like a coin flip between the offense and the defense being the one to get it. I made a note here, Gatewood throwing more risky passes, whereas Nix seemed to be keeping the ball safer. But I guess if your receivers are able to make something out of that, then that doesn't become as big of a consideration. And then, like I said, when you take the orange jerseys off of these guys and let them go live, certainly I can imagine Gatewood gives you a few more things he can do. And that's why I kind of agree with something that I believe Brandon Marcello maybe said over the last couple of days, which is that I can totally see different packages for these two guys so that they can both play. Now, I know that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. I know. And I know that leadership is at least as important as most other tangible, you know, that intangible element of leadership is very important. Having that one guy that you can count on to rally the team and focus them and drive them down the field. I know, and you sort of lose that when you share the ball and you share the packages and the playbook with between two or more quarterbacks. I know, and we all have nightmares from a couple of years ago. I guess, was it 2016 when we started out with playing all those different quarterbacks? You know, we don't want that. Nobody wants that. But I can see us going back to the days like when Bo Nix's dad, Pat Nix, was our quarterback. There were certain packages where Damian Craig came in and did certain things. And so maybe, you know, something along those lines. Sometimes, you know, you can put Bo out there with a bunch of receivers and do a hurry-up passing attack, like an air raid almost. That would be cool. And then other times you could put Gatewood out there and more of a heavy package and let him run a little more of the old 2010 offense. And with Harold Joyner maybe set to be the new Eric Smith in that sort of fullback H-back role, that gets really exciting. He would, because I can see Joyner being the kind of player that Eric Smith was, and also the kind of player that Mario Fannin was for that team. You know, that extra running back that can catch the ball. You know, Gus used to love those wheel routes where he'd send a running back on the wheel route while the receivers clear out. And that play was always successful for Cam and for us back in 2010 in that era. So I can see a lot of things that worked for us back then coming back and working again. That would be a lot of fun to see that. But yeah, I think that Matthew Hill and Seth Williams just look like monsters just ready to blow up. As far as running back, and John didn't have anything, I don't think, about them. He has a couple more things. But I noted that DJ Williams looked really, really good, of course, a couple of times. A couple of times he got stacked up. And by the way, talking about the running backs, you have to say the offensive line looked good. And from all reports, the offensive line looks much better this year than it was at this time last year and through most of the season. And, I mean, doesn't that have to go to the offensive line coach? I mean, we all know that people weren't terribly impressed with the actual technique coaching of last year's of year before last offensive line coach. And it takes a while to get things corrected, but it seemed of Hand, right? Herb Hand. But it seems like Grimes has got the ship turning around, and that's, you know, getting them in the right technique, the little things, just getting them to play better as offensive linemen will make everything on the offense that much better, at least for as long as we've got this offensive line. Of course, we all know that after this year, we're going to be scraping bottom trying to find offensive linemen. But, hey, let's have a really good 2019, and then we can worry about that when recruiting season comes around again. But, yeah, DJ Williams looked, for the most part, like a good power back that we haven't had. Right, I mean, you know, even when Kerryon was healthy, he still was a little more of a Cadillac Williams running around guy than he was a bullet up the middle Trey Mason or you know, one of our famous power backs, or Ronnie Brown, or See, when I don't have John on here with me to remind me of these people, I kind of flounder sometimes. Our Rudy Johnson, yeah. You know, Auburn has a tradition of these great power backs that can just bull their way up the middle between the tackles, like a Rudy Johnson, like a Ronnie Brown, like a Trey Mason. And Trey, of course, turned himself into that kind of back. You know, in his first couple of years at Auburn, Trey was more of a tall, lean scat back, and he turned himself into a power back, which was a very impressive transformation, I got to say. And it seems like DJ Williams is in that mold. So maybe we'll have, you know, him for the power. Whitlow is kind of he was as close as we had to a power back last year, but I don't think his build is one that you can use him extensively like that. Just, you know, he's kind of more of a little of this, little of that running back, which is a great thing to have, you know. But Joyner gives you some options. He looked good. Whitlow looked good. Williams looked good. Of course, we'll get Sean Shivers back, and he's the Lionel James, you know, the little train, the scat back of the crew. They all offer something different, and there's others as well. So I can't remember a time when we had so many different running backs who were all just so completely different in their body shape and their approach and their style of play, just totally different. You know, if the running backs was a chess game, you know, we've got every piece on the board out there at running back now and sort of one of each. So as long as we don't have the injury bug there, we should be in really, really good shape. And it's really going to fall to the running backs coach, to Carnell, and to Gus, and to Dillingham, sort of the brain trust of the offense, and I guess Cody Burns as well, whoever all has a say in and Grimes. I'm sure they all have some input, you know, in the game plan. It's going to fall to them to choose the right chess piece for the right situation, to give them all the opportunity to succeed. You know, you don't want to have so many running backs that you start using just one all the time and the others are just sitting on the bench unhappy. But you also don't want to force a round peg into a square hole too many times. So this really does fall to the coaches to design the offense and to call plays in such a way that they maximize the diversity of talent that we have at running back and use each one of those guys in an effective and proper way. And that's going to be very interesting to watch. That's one of the things I'm most interested, I think, in watching this fall, is how we use these different running backs. And it's very similar to receiver. We've got, you know, sort of one or two different types of receivers all over the field. You know, we've got the tall, lean guy that can go up and get it. We got the super fast guys. We got the ones that are more of like a tunnel screen. We got the ones that are more like stretch the defense and throw the bomb. So we really are low. And then there's, you know, then there's Harold Joyner, who's kind of like a running back that can play a slot receiver kind of a guy. So this team really has a lot of diverse talent, more than we've had in a while. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that talent is utilized. In fact, you know, part of what I'll be evaluating Gus's performance on this year, I'm sure we all will be, right, is evaluating how he's doing and whether we want to retain him or not. But and with that schedule, it'll be tough. But part of what I'll be evaluating him on is not so much the wins and losses against this insane schedule we have to face, where we don't even play at home the entire month of October. Good grief. But part of it will be on just how he utilizes the pieces he's brought in, right? Because he's brought us in such great recruiting classes the last few years. I want to see what he does with them and what these new coaches. What does Carnell do as the running back coach? What does Dillingham really do on a football Saturday? We don't know yet. You know, what do these guys do? And that's how I'm going to evaluate them, as much as on wins and losses, because that shows you the potential for the future and not just for one season. John's fourth bullet point he sent to me is about injuries. Certainly, Chandler Wooten, we hope and pray that he is not badly hurt. There hasn't been a lot of information coming out about him, and that's understandable. But, man, we're counting on him as one of our key, most important linebackers after losing our three starters to graduation. So we need him to get well fast. And then his fifth bullet point is the young guys, like another linebacker, Owen Papo, right? That's our big five-star linebacker, one of the highest-rated players we've gotten in a while. And he is fast, as John notes. He is fast. He looked good. And here's what John says. John says, we've had some good linebackers the last few years, but Papo has a higher ceiling than them because of his athletic ability. If Travis Williams can get the same toughness and understanding of what the offense is trying to do and how to stop it that last year's group of experienced linebackers had, we will be in great shape. And I totally agree with John on that. I think that we lose some experience for sure, but the talent is there, and I think that's true about all over the field, right? All over the field, this team. And then when you look at the defense, besides just the linebackers and the secondary, you have that defensive line, and that defensive line is going to bail us out of a lot of bad situations and keep us in games. And honestly, you know, we've always said if we could keep the defense that Kevin Steele has been giving us the last few years, and if we could add, if we could just somehow add to that mix an offense like we had in 13 and 14, then think how good we could be. I don't know how good the offense is going to be in 2019, but when I look at the receivers, the running backs, the quarterbacks, the offensive line, when I look at all those pieces that we have, I feel like this team has a chance. It's not a guarantee. It's not a lock. But I feel like they filled in those missing pieces. They're young. They're young. And, you know, starting freshman in the SEC, Pat Dye says you lose a game for every freshman you start. And that may well be the case this year. But they have a chance. They have the ability. They have the potential to give us a really really good season. And, again, wins and losses aside, because that's my last point, we play seven games against the top 16 teams. Seven games against top 16 teams, including, of course, Alabama and Georgia, but also we play Florida. How in the world did we not play Florida for most of the last decade when they were down, and now that they've gone 10-3 and have a coach that we have a spotty record against, now we start playing them again? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, all right, well, I'm running out of gas. I'm still trying to get well. I'm sure my voice sounds much worse now than it did when we started. I appreciate you putting up with it. I appreciate you waiting a couple of days to get this. I don't know that I have any revelations, and I don't know that I've shed any new light on anything, but that's just what John and I think about it. We will, of course, be doing we will be doing our usual shows coming up, probably starting in a week or two. The AU Wishbone, we'll have our Game of Thrones shows on the White Rocket podcast starting back up. I'm sure we'll do that Monday night because he'll be back from his trip, and I should hopefully be totally healthy by then. And we may have to redshirt me. You may have to give me an injury redshirt because I'm on injured reserve right now. But I'm playing through it here for you guys. And we'll go back, of course, to our usual things like reading all of our patrons. We really appreciate you patrons so much. and we have a couple of new ones. So we'll thank you guys when our, again, when our, I don't have it in front of me here. I don't have a way to access it right now on my phone. So I'm just wanting to thank all of you patrons. You know who you are, and I'll name you all individually again in our next regular episode coming up in a few days. So, all right, that's going to do it. My time is up. I thank you for yours, and I thank you for putting up with this very crude attempt at a show. And we will see you guys when John is back and I sound decent again. We'll see you guys soon. War Eagle.